when I sat in the jury trial and the gentleman came in, I had never saw this guy before in my life. It's one thing to know that you're innocent and you know for a surety. But when you have somebody come into a courtroom and say, yes, that's the person that did it, and it's like, okay, what's going on now? Where did this guy come from? Who is this guy? Do I look like somebody else? So many different things ran through my head, you know, in the courtroom because I could not figure out. And for 15 years, that was my biggest struggle. How did this gentleman sit in this chair and say I was the person that did this shooting when I was nowhere around the crime scene? So that haunted me for a long time. I was like, okay, did he see me walking home? Did he? How? You know, it was really, really hard. I know now, 20 years later, the prosecutor in my case had my picture with him. And before the gentleman went in to testify, he told the prosecutor, he said, man, I don't remember this case. I don't even remember the suspect. And even when he went in to testify, he even testified that the skin complexion of the shooter was way darker than I was. The height of the shooter was way taller than I was. But the prosecutor told him to go in and testify against me. My father, he was a minister, and so he always stood on the saying, the truth shall set you free. And so when I was incarcerated, that's what I stood on. You know, at some point in time, I knew that the truth was going to set me free. I thought that it was going to be my truth, you know, me just verbally telling them that I was the wrong person, that I didn't have no knowledge of the incident or anything like that. But it wasn't my verbalization of the truth that actually set me free. But I always knew that eventually I was going to get out. I just didn't think that it would have taken those amount of years out of my life.